So anyway, yeah, today we're going to be getting into the gospel call, how God calls us. So for starters, listen to this, Romans 8, 28 through 30. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to become conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. And whom he predestined, these he also called. And whom he called, he also justified. And whom he justified, he glorified. So that's Romans 8, 28 through 30. And then if you look at Romans 9, 24, I think it is. Even us whom he also called, not from among Jews only, but also from among the Gentiles. So that's Romans 9, 24. And then whoever's got 2 Thessalonians 2, 14, can you read that?
It was for this he called you to our gospel, that you may gain the glory of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Right. So the point being is, you know, there's tons and tons of scripture about God calling us to himself. We talked about election, God's calling, God's choosing, etc. How would you define how God calls people?
Quietly.
Through the Spirit.
Okay.
Testing. We can't see in and of ourselves. We can't hear in and of ourselves.
Okay.
Grace, but it's just graciousness that he would even want to call.
Okay. So as far as the gospel call, how would you say if somebody said, what's the gospel call, what would you say?
It's a presentation of what Christ did for us, and it goes out, and in whom the Spirit is moving and working, and he chooses to regenerate. Mm-hmm. He makes that person alive. They become regenerate, and they're born again.
Okay.
Revelation, you know, just revealing of himself to whom he chooses.
Okay. All right. That's good. Let's look at, on your handout there, you've got the word call and draw. I took a look at the Greek word on these. The word call is kaleo. It's 2564 in the Strong's, and it's to call with a personal objective, a calling of the divine interpretation to participate in the blessings of redemption. Okay? Romans 8:30, we just read that. 1 Corinthians 1:9. Hebrews 9:15. If somebody has that, can you read it?
Therefore, he is the mediator of a new covenant, so that those who are called may receive the promised eternal inheritance, since a death has occurred that redeems them from the transgressions committed under the first covenant.
Okay. So the point being is we're called into like a vocation here. There's a purpose to this calling. We'll see that more as we get into this. The thing to note is that we're called by the King of Kings. This is huge. We're not called by city council, we're not called by our relatives, we're not called by the president of the United States, we're called by the King of Kings, okay? Let's start getting our head around that as we get into this, because that's a big, big part of this, okay? So anyway, kaleo, the word kaleo in Greek, it's also related to the noun klesis, 2821, which is a calling, okay? So it's called in the epistles an effectual call. We'll get more into effectual calling in a minute. It's an appointment, or it's being appointed. It's a summons by name from an authority. Okay, so when we talk about God calling us, we're talking about an authority calling us. This isn't us reaching out to him. It's him reaching out to us and appointing us. Okay?
A good verse and a great connection is Matthew 11:27. It's a wonderful verse. No one knows the Son except the Father, and no one knows the Father except the Son. And those to whom the Son chooses to reveal him, the Father.
Right.
So the Son has revealed the Father to us.
Yep.
Below the level of our awareness, but obviously very powerful.
Right. So it's a summons. You know, you could take some examples of this. You know, Jesus with Lazarus, okay? He said, Lazarus, come forth. That was a summons. He called him from death to life. And that's partly what this is. It's an invitation you see on your handout, which is interesting. It's not this, it's an invitation. So we'll get more into that. It's employment. So you've been called to be employed. So think about that. You know, you're actually working for someone else now. Your life is not your own.
Amen.
Okay? You were, the slate is wiped clean. And who you were before is not who you're at, who you are now. So, you know, 1 Corinthians 6:20 says, you've been bought with a price, so glorify God in your body. So the thing we need to understand here is that this is really huge if we properly grasp this. The thing that I'm always concerned about in our culture, quite frankly, is that we really minimize and undermine and just water down the volume of what this stuff is. Okay, when you are called by God, you're gone. You are now in a vocation. Okay, so think about that. The next word down is vocation, okay? So this is huge too. Vocation, you now have a purpose. You have a new identity. You know, Eric works with the people in recovery, and I think of them so often that, you know, they struggle with their lives and what am I doing in life? People get suicidal. You know, things like that. They're just really distraught and depressed and so forth. When you're called by God, you have a new identity. You have a new purpose. Your purpose isn't to just be good at your job. Your purpose isn't just to be a good spouse. Your purpose isn't to just be a nice guy. Your purpose is you're now on mission from the King of Kings, sent here as an ambassador to preach his gospel and to share his gospel, share his love. That truth can change those people's lives. There's no question. So,
I use that all the time at work when people we're talking and I'll say I'm on a mission from God. Mm-hmm. And that's a line out of the Blues Brothers movie. You know? And so that opens up conversation, but then I said, no, I really am. I'm on a mission.
Right. Praise God. Yeah. So again, let's just sink our teeth into that. You know, being called, this word, you know, klesis, it's being appointed, it's a summons, it's an invitation, it's employment, it's a vocation. You have a role, you have a purpose. Okay, think of that. It's also related to the your next point down, related to the verbal adjective kletos, 28:22, which is more of a specific calling. That's like, you know, God calling people to an office of apostleship, pastorship, eldership, you know, etc. That's a little bit different. If you look at the word drawing, God draws us to himself. That's part of this calling process. If you look at drawing in the Greek, it's helkuo. Okay, in the Greek, it's to draw without necessarily the notion of force. So again, it's not corralling you or whatever that term is with the cows, you know, where you're roping them in, but it's drawing without necessarily force. So there's an interplay here. Okay, John 6:44 says, "No one can come to me unless the Father draws him." Okay, which is effectual drawing, by the way. It's not general drawing, it's effectual. Okay? And then he says, I will lift him up at the last day. I will lift him up. John 12:32 says, and if I am lifted up on the earth, I will draw all men to myself. So that's more of a general calling. That's more of a general drawing. Okay, in John 12. The thing that's really interesting about this is that this points to his sovereign calling. We're talking about this. Yet it's coupled with our choice of response. Man is not culpable because of God's calling. Okay, we have a responsibility.
Man is not culpable? Is that what you said?
Correct. Sorry, it's double negative.
is that what you said?
Yeah.
Okay.
We have a responsibility.
Even though the doctrine of election stands.
Correct. Which is interesting. If you look at 2 Corinthians 5:14, he says, you know, the love of Christ compels us, or in the King James it says the love of Christ constrains us, okay? That's that drawing of him, but yet we still have a response, okay? It comes in different ways. Predestination, I was talking with Dave before the class that there was a guy here that's in Daryl, who's in recovery, who actually was walking in front of a church one day and literally heard the voice of God say, go in that church. And he went in that church, talked to the pastor. Long story short, the guy got saved. And it's an incredible testimony. This guy has just devoured the Word of God, and he's on fire for God for the last 2 years, which is amazing. What we're talking about here a little bit is the drawing of us through the actual proclamation of the gospel, okay? I don't know about you guys. If you've got stories, feel free to share them. But for me, I felt God drawing me before I got saved, even for like 2 years, okay? I was Catholic. I was raised Catholic, and I don't know what it was. I just felt like, you know, I needed to start going to church. So I started going to church, Catholic Mass. You know, then I got married in 1981, and my mom got me this big, huge, fat Catholic Bible. And I just remember saying, it's like, you know, this is the most important gift that I will get in my whole wedding, you know, and it was the Word of God, okay? I wasn't saved. I was lost. But I felt God drawing me. And then even when the guys that I worked with shared the gospel with me, it took probably 6 months that they were sharing the gospel with me. And they were, thank God, very, very patient. Because like I told you in week one, I was sort of making fun of them and all this. But I finally succumbed to the gospel. And I finally received Christ as Savior and Lord and got saved. Okay, so there was a drawing process. So can anybody here, can you relate, like, do you have any stories or anything of how God drew you to himself?
I grew up going to church every Sunday, but it was not a Bible-based gospel preaching church. And I remember in high school, like, when I'd be riding in the car to church or coming home thinking, what is the purpose of this? Mm-hmm. How will my life be any different because I spent this Sunday morning in church?
Mm-hmm.
And I knew I should be, yet I was struggling with how will my life be any different Monday to Saturday because I went on Sunday. And as I looked, it was shortly after that, I worked as a nurse at a Young Life camp in Colorado, and there, clearly, for the first time, heard the gospel. But as I looked back on those questions I had that I never verbalized to anyone, I could see God drawing me to himself.
Yeah, the drawing is like a preparation. It's softening you up to hear the gospel, you know, to respond.
Go ahead, Keith.
God was really good to me. He loved me enough to let me get miserable because I was being the God of my own life. At the same time, I couldn't answer basic questions like who am I and where am I going and why am I here and why do airplanes crash and kids die and why do I work for a living? And tough questions. 16, 17, 18, trying to figure life out, you know. And I went away to junior college. Started going to junior college and I thought surely these guys with their beards and their books, they'll be able to explain things to me and make sense to me. And after a couple of years, I realized I didn't have any answers. Because Maslow criticizes Freud, who criticizes Jung, who criticizes the next guy, and they don't have any answers, you know.
Mm-hmm.
And God was preparing me. His mercy. I became a believer when I was alone in room 274, about 3 o'clock in the afternoon, February 1965. I realized, whoa, if this is true, I got to believe it.
Mm-hmm.
That's not exactly falling down on your knees and crying, throwing your hands up and saying, what must I do to be saved?
Right.
But I know in a moment, I was redeemed.
Right.
He knew you could be saved before you even knew you knew you could be saved. Right?
I knew before you could know. Before I knew you could know.
Yeah.
Okay. That's like not, that's like not culpable. Next bullet down, what the gospel call is. Let's take a look at that. Can somebody read that quote by Grudem?
Effective calling is an act of God the Father speaking to the human proclamation of the gospel in which he summons people to himself in such a way that they respond and say.
Right, and there's that word summons again, klesis. Romans 11:29 says, the gifts and calling of God are irrevocable. Okay. Next bullet down, this is referred to as effective calling. If you need to jot that down, you can. Which is different than general calling that most people reject. Okay, general calling refers to Scripture more like, you know, Mark 16:15. It says, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel. He who is, you know, believes and is baptized will be saved. He who does not believe will be damned." So, that's more of a general call to the world. General calling is also referred to as the general proclamation of the gospel by God's people, which of course have no idea who's chosen and who's not. So, what you do is you preach the gospel to all. Okay, we don't discriminate there. Grudem, in his book, has an interesting quote here. Even though the calling of God is irrevocable and it's all God, it's all Him, here is a good quote about the man's responsibility side. He says, "It is important that we not give the impression that people will be saved by the power of this call apart from their own willing response to the gospel. Although it is true that effective calling awakens and brings forth a response from us, we must always insist that this response still has to be voluntary. A voluntary, willing response in which the individual puts his or her trust in Christ." So that's what we were just talking about. That's what Keith was just talking about. These are some of the mysteries of the gospel. It's like, you know, we talk about election. We talk about a man's responsibility. We talk about this calling. And even though God calls people, we still have to respond. How do you iron all that out? When you figure it out, let me know. But they're both there. They're both present. So, let's see here. Yeah, the only little, I guess, example of that is if you look at marriage, you know, you don't, a guy doesn't go look up a woman he's interested in and sort of club her over the head and drag her to the altar and say, "Marry me." Okay? The reason he doesn't is because there's no love in that.
Because she'd beat him.
Okay. There's no love in that. You know, there has to be love. Love demands a choice. Love demands that the other party be able to accept or reject. And if there's no love, there's no relationship. We're not robots. So, again, just something to think about there. And by the way, it's really important that we pray for people. I personally think the biggest thing we can do with the gospel is pray for people.
Amen.
Because God does the drawing. He does the calling. So we need to beg God for the souls of people to be saved. And I think that's the biggest thing we can do, is pray for them, because He has to draw them. So, what the gospel call isn't. It's not human effort. No one can will themselves to be called. Okay, John 1:13 says, "Which were born not of blood, nor the will of flesh, nor the will of man, but of God." Okay, this isn't up to Dave's will because he witnesses to people for them to get saved. It's not your will. It's not their will that they actually get saved. It's actually ultimately the sovereign will of God. Okay? It's not attending church or being religious. That doesn't make you called. I think, I harp on this a lot, forgive me, but I think we are in a culture where we think that if we go to Cornerstone, we attend Koinonia, we might be in a small group in a Bible study and whatever, we just sort of by osmosis become the called. Because we sort of agree with everything. That doesn't make you called, okay? Religious activity does not make you one of the called. So
that's real important for people to comprehend. Because when you start talking to people and they say, "Well, I go to church and I've been baptized."
Right.
You know, I go to such and such a church. I go to a Baptist church. You know,
right.
It doesn't matter.
And it's I.
Going to hell. Right.
Right. Right. Sounds like Matthew 7. So. Being called implies we are called from one condition to another. Okay, so when we're called out of something to something. Listen to this. The negative is out. Called out of darkness into His marvelous light, 1 Peter 2:9. The positive, God is faithful by whom you were called into the fellowship with His Son, Jesus Christ our Lord, 1 Corinthians 1:9. We're called into His kingdom and glory, 1 Thessalonians 2:12. We are called to be conformed to the image of His Son. We're not called for health and wealth and to be a nice guy. Okay? We're called to be conformed to the image of His Son in Romans 8:29. You know, Christ did not die on the cross so that we could become a nice guy. He died on the cross so that we can surrender to Him and glorify Him and serve Him and be on mission and carry the gospel to glorify him. So that's the purpose of the...
I could become a nice guy if you do.
You very well could. I know a lot of Christians aren't nice guys, but you could. We're called to be saints, okay, meaning by definition, separation from the world. You can look that up in Romans 1:1-7, but you know the Bible says, come out from among them and be separate, says the Lord, and touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. Okay? We're called to be separate. Again, we'll get into this in some of the lessons down the road, but when you get saved, when God calls you and you accept him, your life is over. It's done. You wipe the slate clean. You now fill in the blanks with God and the gospel.
That's right.
Okay? So you're called to be conformed to him, and you're called to be saints and set apart. You also belong, which is the word in the next bullet, to Jesus Christ. Okay? You belong to him. This is total ownership in slavery, and it just happens to be to the most awesome, loving Savior, Master you could ever hope to have, who has your best interest in mind in addition to his glory. Okay? But it is belonging to Jesus Christ. You don't belong to yourself anymore. You are not your own. You're bought with a price. So, think of that. Scripture has all kinds of other aspects that we're called to and from. If anybody has any quickly, feel free to share them.
Put off the old man, put on a new man.
Okay.
Ephesians 4.
Okay.
I like Colossians 1:13. We are delivered from darkness to the kingdom of the Son. Delivered. Someone delivers us, and that's the Lord God.
Right.
I like that. Being in his hands.
Yep. Yeah, and one of the challenges, by the way, with having 30 minutes in this class is, you know, it's like there's scripture, man, from cover to cover that we could just expound on all day long. And I wish we could, but we can't. So, unfortunately, there's only, like, bits and pieces we can get into. Who does the gospel calling? The calling is an act of God. Okay, it's again, it's not through us. And to Bert's point in his last series, it's not through selling the gospel. Okay, it's not through my cleverness. I used to think that when I first got saved. And man, I was like breaking out in hives, you know, thinking about sharing the gospel with people because it's like, it's all up to me. And it's like, they're going to go to hell. And it's like, if I don't say it right, and if I don't tell them the right thing and tell them in time and, you know, blah, 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 blah. It's like, you know, I couldn't even sleep.
Right.
The calling is not up to me. It's up to God. Okay? So we can rest in his sovereignty. That's a peaceful thing.
Amen.
You know. So anyway, Romans 8:30 again, whom he predestined, he called. Okay. God predestines us to and calls us by his sovereign choice. Okay. So here's a question: if effective calling starts and ends with God, is it guaranteed?
Yes. Absolutely.
Okay. It's all past tense. He called. He predestined. He called. He redeemed. He glorified. It's all past tense. So, we've got like 5 minutes left. And I want to get into what our role is. Go ahead.
Just a thought for anybody who's uncomfortable with the whole idea of election and loss of choice and loss of dependence, or independence, rather. There was a time when life was a very repugnant thought to me. I chafed under this.
Mm-hmm.
But God gradually began to help me see, as I began to see how sinful I am. I was just constantly right there. You remember my story about the other spraying the shower? Remember that?
Yeah.
Remember that? Well, you see, as we learn ourselves, we become to realize that if he had not stepped in to redeem us, and he had not elected us and chosen us, I never would have been saved. I never would have turned to God of my own free will. I like to think it was my free will, and I know my will was engaged at a certain point, as you point out here, the Ordo Salutis, thank you. I wouldn't have been redeemed if God had not been very gracious to me and taken the major initiative.
Right.
Amen. So I become comfortable.
I have a question for Pastor Keith.
Uh-oh. Yeah. I answer all the easy ones, Merrill answer all the hard
ones. You said that God was gracious enough to you for you to experience, did you say, failure, misery? Okay. If you had not responded
the way you did in Luke 2:74 on this day, do you think God would have waterboarded you even more and made you even more miserable the next day or some the next day out of His grace? He would have pushed you down even further. Do you think that's a way of understanding your experience?
I never really thought about that, but I suppose it's true that He'd been dealing with me for a long time.
Right.
And it came to a conclusion in 3 in the afternoon in February 65, and so I assume He would have persevered.
Amen. Yeah.
Gratefully.
I had to ask that because that's my experience. I was very resistant to the gospel for more than 30 years of my life, even though I understood God. I believed the Nicene Creed or the facts that I believed.
Right.
And there were many experiences in my life where I was, through my own foolishness, I was close to death. I was close to taking myself out.
Mm-hmm.
God preserved me through those times, but He was kind enough to, in my sense, push, like it's waterboard, sounds like a severe thing. He kept pushing me down even further, mm-hmm. until I realized, how stupid am I? Mm-hmm. And that's His grace.
Yep.
That's great.
To the end of grace, love.
Yep. And that's, my minor point here, but that just goes to show how the way He approaches different children of His is different. The Apostle Paul never even had anybody witness to him. He was on the road to Damascus and got struck. Okay, Daryl, same thing. I was witnessed to by people, and it took about 6 months. You're talking about years and years and years that you basically rejected Christ. So, again, we trust in His sovereignty and in His timing and everything in how He brings us together, which, oh, by the way, is why, and I'm pointing the finger at me on this one, we need to have patience with the lost and not give up, not stop praying for them. Oh, they're lost. He'll never be saved. It's like, how do you know that? So. Or Marilyn, you had some?
I was saved at 7 years old, and I remember attending junior church,
mm-hmm.
Sunday after Sunday, hearing that I needed to be saved.
Right.
And finally, one night after dinner, just saying to my dad, "Dad, I need to get saved."
Yeah.
I mean, it was.
That's when you stopped drinking?
That's. Yeah. there's some truth to that. Because people often say, "Oh, I know how bad I was, and now how God has changed me." At 7 years old, I didn't know how bad I was.
Right.
So I do wish I had more of, but then again, I know God saved me from a lot of scars.
Amen. Mm-hmm. Praise God.
So God deals with all of us in different ways.
Yeah.
That's right.
I know at 5 I was really bad. It was.
She was drinking. All that vodka and whiskey in the basement bar. It's like, just get her in.
No, but I took everything. We were in a government housing complex, and second floor was my bedroom. I had taken every sheet, pillow, anything I could pitch out the window.
Hmm.
And I'm standing by the window, and my mom comes in, and I knew she'd been praying for me. And I said, you come near me, I'm jumping. And if I would have been my mom, I would have said, I would have taken her. I was like, go ahead, I'll help you. She was like all day praying for me when I'd have these fits. And I know I was bad. And it almost felt like the spirit within was evil. And mm-hmm. I was like rebelling against her mm-hmm. prayers and her what she was trying to tell me.
Mm-hmm.
It was just so...
Praise God for that.
Yeah.
Well, let's do this. It's 10:30. There's a lot more I want to talk about here in the second half of this. Can everybody do me a favor and keep this and bring this back with you next week, please? And we'll get into the second half of this next week, because the second half really is, what is your role in this whole gospel call? Now that you're a believer and you're a carrier of the gospel, what is your role? So just please bring these back. And then we'll get into that next week. Okay? Let's pray. Father, I just thank You for this time. I thank You that Your call is majestic. Your call is awesome. Your call is somewhat of a mystery to us. And if it was up to us, Lord, we would never call You. I just thank you for calling us. And I just pray, Lord, that we would worship you through this experience, and that next week, as we get into who we are in the role of the gospel call, that we would be humbled, and we would see maybe more clearly than ever before our approach to a lost world with the gospel. So we just thank you for this and praise you for this time. In Jesus' name, amen. Wonderful.